Let's do it.
I just want to get Tony to sing in our episode at some point.
Welcome to episode 14 of the Nerdcast podcast, Not Your Regular Dialogue. I go by the name of Toner, and we are back in the command center again. I got Joe Dust.
I can't feel my face when I'm with you, but I love it.
Unexpected. We have Big Matt.
Hey, hello.
Oh, that was boring.
He doesn't say what up my nerds anymore. We have Big J, or Cripple J, or whatever J.
It's hard to follow Joe sometimes.
Cripple J.
Except for the bedroom.
Oh.
Even more so.
And sound guy Steve.
I bought beer for this episode.
Oh,
that's a first. Hey.
Humble brag number 900 of the day.
Cue the music, Jay.
It's 12 to 6. Yeah. The only fucking real movement. Fuck yeah. The only fucking movement you need to worry about. I can spit a ill message to the old and the young. I can always tell the truth and never bite my tongue. I can make you raise your hands when I'm packing a gun. They said it can't be done, but I'm a champion. Yeah, I can be educated and still get dumb. Kick a hole in the beehive and not get stung. I can do anything that's under the sun. They said it can't be done, but I'm a champion.
Okay. As always, at this point of the show, let's recognize our unofficial beer sponsor. For that, I throw it over to our official beer sponsor, Jay.
Just have an episode?
You said official beer sponsor. He's our official beer snob. Jesus, how much have you had to drink today?
Fuck.
Cut him off.
At this point of the show, we'd like to recognize our unofficial beer sponsor.
This might be why it's a bad idea to do two episodes in a day.
Hi, you're listening to Nerdcast episode 14. My name is Joe.
That was good. Okay. Jay, who the fuck are we drinking today?
We got Urban Chestnut with their Zwickel Bavarian-style lager. It says Bavarian-style, but it's actually a German beer.
German fucking beer.
Ooh, it's so good. I want to drink more.
You know how I knew it was Bavarian-style? Because I saw the beer eating its own shit earlier.
Scheiße! Scheiße!
Oh, God. Go on! Put some beer in my mouth!
I would give stats, but I don't know if I can follow that.
I know, they're like, are there any stats on the beer? Or
Joe, who's our unofficial snack sponsor?
Bamba blessed Jewish drinks. No, they are not made from Holocaust ashes.
Oh, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
And Frank, rest in peace.
Okay.
Wow.
Rest in peace, Steven Spielberg.
I don't get the whole Jew thing, but so anyway.
I don't know how to take that.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
What do you mean you don't get the whole Jew thing, you anti-Semite?
They don't believe in Jesus.
So, episode 14, Matthew.
Hey, good podcast.
Yeah,
good podcast.
It's great. Let's go ahead and get started.
I just saw Jerusalem fall off our map. Jerusalem's like, well, and back to TV.
So what are we talking about today? Please tell me it's not just this.
A plethora to talk about yet again in this episode. A smorgasbord, if I may. A schmegma, if we want to go with that.
Schmegma. And we only have 45 minutes, so let's go.
Smorgasbord kind of sounds like a Bavarian term.
How did you know?
Because you were shitting into my mouth when you said it.
What the fuck, man?
Toner, this episode we're talking about drinking stories, because guess what? We've been drinking.
Oh, yeah. As you can tell by my perfectly executed intro there, the beer has not...
Jay, our beer sponsor.
I meant to say beer snob. I'm sorry.
Fuck.
You're a goddamn professional. What the hell?
I know. I got to keep my composure.
Anyway, drinking stories. I think we'll lead off with our unofficial beer snob. Or actually, our official beer snob with a drinking story, Jay. Cripple Jay.
What do you want me to start with, WWE?
Let's go with WWE. I love that story. That's a great one.
All right. This is back, what, 2001?
Circa.
All of us?
Yeah. 2001.
Okay. Whoever wants to share.
I got one.
All right. 2001, I'd been dating my current wife.
Yeah.
for a couple months, and we went to a WWE pay-per-view. And I decided to drink as much as I could get away with, which was cost more than I had with me. So in the middle of the pay-per-view, buying beer, I had to go back to the seats and bring Aaron back up, who was a minor at the time, to pay for my beer. And when we left said pay-per-view, I was out of control.
You were way out of control. Because it was me, your brother Mikey, you, and Aaron.
Aaron was our sober driver.
And she was the sober driver, correct.
And I was the only one drinking. And so they had the WWE trailers out there outside the Savas Center, whatever it is now. Mm-hmm. Scott Trade now. So me being drunk, I'm weaving in between the trailers because I think it's hilarious. So we get back to Union Station, and I decide to have to pee, and I pee on Aaron's tire.
So that's why it was a marriage meant to last, because it was one of those dates where you peed on her car, and she still liked you anyway.
She had to invoke the parent locks on the windows, because I kept rolling down the window on the highway acting like I was going to jump out.
Jesus.
And then I went back to her place and puked everywhere.
All right. Money.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful story. It was love meant to be, right?
And we are still together 14 years later.
14 years later, she's put up with that bullshit.
It is a touching story.
I only get like that maybe once a year now, so. Not
you,
all the time.
What are you trying to say? You pee on her once a year now? What?
Oh.
No, I get sick everywhere.
He's sure. Not R. Kelly, okay?
That's why we got banned from YouTube.
Let's see, Toner, I'm going to go to you. What do you have a drinking story you'd like to share with us?
Yeah. He's got plenty.
I've got plenty.
Well, he's got plenty.
Well, the thing is, that's the problem with my stories, is a lot of the good ones that I blacked out. I don't remember shit.
Let's see, you dropping Ruth on the keg at our house at a cake stand?
I never held her.
You did take a cake stand that night, and half it came out your mouth.
That's true.
The keg thing was in one side, and it was just shooting out the other side. So they're sitting there counting how long he's up there for, but half of it didn't even make it in.
Which is weird, because Tony usually doesn't waste a drop if something's coming.
Semen jug.
Kicking a certain someone down your stairs as she was trying to help you up to your bedroom.
Oh, fuck.
names will not be named.
I'm not dropping names.
Names will not be named, but I don't remember this story.
Yeah,
you heard. Also had her same sunglasses on in the strip club.
Oh, Jesus. They're like Elton John looking sunglasses.
Oh,
he was walking around with a fake Beatle accent.
That. Not when I was there.
No.
Okay, yeah.
This was...
Yeah.
Circa 2000.
Before I was married, probably. No, I think I was married.
Circa 2010, then, maybe?
No, it's 2007.
No, before kids,
yeah. 2007.
Yeah. Before kids.
The movie Kids, or like when you guys...
Before me and Aaron consummated our wedding with kids, so...
I just got a nice visual.
Say it slower.
Well, one of the funniest things I can remember, then I'll move on. At my old house in good old Winsville, total, you know, bachelor or whatever, my buddy Jason lived on the next street over. He was always having people over, he and his girlfriend. So I just got, you know, obliterated, which, you know, I always do everything in moderation.
Or like at least Wednesday night?
I did back then.
Yeah, Wednesday night was fucking crazy.
So anyway, I get hammered. And, you know, next thing I know, I blink, and I wake up. I wake up in total darkness, but I'm standing up, and I'm like, where the fuck am I?
Is that when you notice the gag in your mouth?
I can't see shit. So I start, you know, I'm like, I'm fucking Helen Keller in the dark here, like all feeling around.
The machine.
And all of a sudden, shut the fuck up, I'm telling a story. So I'm feeling around, and I feel something that feels like a shower curtain. I'm like, what the fuck? So I open it up. Still not a fucking clue where I'm at. But the door, there's like, you know, there's the door, and I can see there's a light underneath it. So obviously there's a light on. I'm like, where the fuck am I? Start feeling around. Still no, there's no light switches, no nothing. So I start, you know, making my way slowly to the door. I'm like, I don't know who the fuck's on the other side of this thing. And I open it up, and I'm like, oh, I'm at home. I woke up in my own shower. I checked myself.
You passed out in your own shower?
Yeah, I don't know why the fuck I was in there. I didn't piss myself. I didn't pee in the shower.
That you know of.
Yeah, I checked. All right, I didn't. I'm like, did I pee in the shower? No, I didn't pee in the shower. Didn't piss myself. I have no idea how long I was in there. I'm like, it was still nighttime. I'm like, oh, okay.
Good times.
Yeah,
they invented teleportation while I passed out.
So that was kind of weird.
That's a good one. Yeah. I like that one.
Right. Who's next?
I'll go, because mine's pretty tame. I don't have a lot of drinking stories, because I just don't. I'm like you. I probably don't remember a lot of them. This is
my unsubscribe.
Mine's kind of like a lot like Jay's, where that's when you know you're with the person that's supposed to be with, kind of thing, because I don't remember where I was or what the event was, but I got obliterated, and my wife was the designated driver at the time. I don't remember if she was pregnant or not at that point.
She's always the designated driver.
But we're driving home on K, and I'm like, this ain't going to be good. You got to pull over right now. And she pulls us over into a mobile on the run, and I just barf everywhere. And I'd rolled the window open, and I managed to get most of it out of the car, but not all of it.
Nice.
And then this was I don't know if we were married at the point or not. I think we'd been married, but I don't know if we had kids at that point. But I remember, now mind you, my wife, she's about 5'2" and weighed at that point maybe 100 pounds soaking wet. And I'm 6'1", over 200. And I get out of her car when we get home, and I pass out in the neighbor's yard. And she goes, I can't pick you up. You either are going to lay there until you can get yourself up, or that's it. That's the end of the night. And I'm like, just go. It's fine. I'll get up. I'll be in a minute. About a couple hours later,
nice.
I think I walk into the house, and she's like, I fucking told you. And then the next day was spent using Q-tips to get the puke out of the windowsill where I puked into it.
Oh, shit.
Because that was my penance for acting like a jerk the night before and puking
Beautiful.
In the car.
Cleaning up the car afterwards is always the worst.
It reminds you maybe it just wasn't worth it.
At that point, when you're cleaning the outside of the car, mm-hmm. been there plenty of times.
So I think that's my favorite one, where I passed out in the neighbor's yard for a couple hours. It just felt so good.
Glad
nice
I'm eating
cool.
this chili right now.
Yeah, no, I was going to take another bite, and then I'm like, yeah, I'm done.
It looks too familiar now.
Let's throw it over to Steve. I'm going to throw it to Steve.
Yes. This is from this February, coming back from Vegas.
Oh.
So,
yeah, I only heard about this.
All right, so the last night, which is the 10th, we go February 8th to the 11th. For me and Tony's birthday, and you know Joe and Andy's birthday as well. So we're
Andy's
at
Joe's brothers.
September.
It was all of our the birthdays from the past. We just did a big celebration. So we go out to Vegas, and the last night we're there, we're staying at the Flamingo, and we're at Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville, and I think it was Joe and Tony are talking to some guy from fucking England, and you know this guy from England is just totally fucking obliterated. I mean, he's been two sheets of the wind for like 4 hours, but he's fucking still growing strong. He's red in the face, and he's just pounding back beers. But Andy decides to keep buying everybody the perfect margaritas, $11, with three different types of tequila, triple sec, all kinds of crazy shit. And said time goes by, it's like really early in the night, it's like maybe 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and Tony and Andy decide to disperse, and Joe has said pictures later of Andy just like almost looks like he's dead.
He's
on the,
out like Jesus.
Yeah. So,
his legs are hanging over.
So we get back, and Tony's already passed out. Andy's already passed out.
To be fair, when I went back, Tony was on the toilet, passed out.
Oh. I was sitting on the tub next to the toilet.
I peeked through, and there's pantsless Tony sitting there. He's like, hey!
Was he the first one? Tony, I'm back. Huh? Was he the first one passed out?
No, Andy was.
No, I had
Andy was. Because
Andy tried to use his credit card to get back into the room.
Yeah. So
several times, and he wasn't sure why it was.
There were numerous times at our house that Tony was passed out on our couch, the first one, every time.
He goes balls to the wall.
That's right.
So Joe goes up to the room real quick, and he comes back, and we're playing roulette for a little while, and then I come back up afterwards, and Joe's like, yeah, Andy's passed out, Tony's passed out. I'm like, okay, so I decide to sleep on the couch with the fucking
bath towel on
because Tony's like, why didn't you say he? Tony's like, literally, he looks, he's like got every inch of the bed covered. So said morning, Wednesday, coming back, I proceed to discharge my fluids in the shower, puking like crazy.
Oh, and I thought you were going another way with that.
Yeah.
discharge of fluids.
I was going to be like, oh, same.
So we're getting ready to pack up. It's about a half hour before we have to leave, and I hear Andy yelling from Joe. He's like, hey, Joe.
Idiots, like, you hear that. Joe, can you come here?
And he's like, hey, can you look at this puke? It's got blood in it. I just want to make sure everything's okay. So Joe walks into the
Andy
bathroom.
Andy and Steve were equally bad that morning, and, man.
So I didn't have that bad. We say bye to Andy and Joe, and me and Tony depart for the airport, and we're on the way to the airport on the shuttle. And I'm biting my finger. Like, I am... I'm talking to Tony like this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Tony, I'm going to lose my shit. He goes, dude. He goes, you can't.
I thought Andy was going to barf in the car, too.
And you tell me
about this Cuban dude who drove 90 miles an hour to the airport.
No. I almost puked in the shuttle.
So, Tony's like, dude. He goes, I'm with you. So, we get to the airport. Tony gets me something to drink. And I'm starting to drink this Powerade. And it's not helping. So, we get on the airplane. And I'm sitting by the window. Tony's sitting in the middle, and there's another guy that sits there. And before the guy sits down, I go into the bathroom and puke into a barf bag and fill it all the way up, dump it in. I mean, I fill it all the way up, dump it in. I dump it in. And Tony's like, what? He goes, dude, you all right? I'm like, no, I puked. So this happens... Not once, not twice, three times.
This on the plane?
This is, on the plane, twice on the way to St. Louis.
Yeah.
While all trying to take care of Tony, so he doesn't fucking have the, like, and I didn't know that Tony had it, like, was, like, the whole turbulence thing. So, the only thing at this point that is keeping me from losing my shit where I'm sitting is trying to make sure that Tony does not, like, have an issue, because I told him, like, dude, if you have a serious problem, they will divert this motherfucker right now. He's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. So I say that.
No,
it did because he caught his composure. I'm like, dude.
Was this a panic attack thing?
I'm scared to death. Well, okay. I have a fear of flying. Yeah. So any form of turbulence, mm-hmm. especially intense shit. Yeah.
He also doesn't like spiders.
Yeah, so I freaked out.
So take,
if I was on that plane with him, I'd be like,
oh,
we're going to die!
Take
his seat from behind.
Take a water bottle that's closed. So you know how fucking hard that is? His hand has that motherfucker halfway crushed. And I'm like, dude, you've got to fucking relax. I mean, he is ready to just fucking crush this thing. So once I get him calmed down, and I'm like, that is the only thing that I'm like, and I'm like, I'm literally getting ready to. He's like, and I'm like, just like,
what did you do? Just run to the bathroom each time, I guess.
No, I calmly got up. I'm like, hey, I need to use the bathroom real quick. Get up, and I'm just like,
and I mean,
but I'm doing, I so I'm doing, and I'm doing this like. So each time, I open the door and I look back to make sure there's no flight attendants back there. I get in, dump it, drop trash out, go sit back down, and I mean, it's just that was the worst fucking experience in my entire life. I'm like, never ever again, because the day we fucking left, I went out with Lori on a Saturday night, and I went there and I drank my ass off, and I get up the next day. Fine. I get to the airport, and we meet Joe Haney in the Schlafly place, and I start drinking tea, and I'm like, oh God. And all I can hear Joe is talking about is Joe Buck picture that he took with him or whatever. But I'm just like, I'm sitting there going like, oh fuck. And I'm like, never fucking.
Yeah,
again.
I try not to get annihilated when I know I have to get on a plane.
Well, and that's what I'm saying.
Here's the thing, though. You have to understand, though. You're flying back from Vegas. I'm sure they're probably all used to it. They're used to it.
Too, yeah.
Oh, no, believe me, there's.
It's happening right now on a flight back from Vegas.
Oh, we've had it happen before where we have people on for the airline I work on. There's people that get on there and they are so drunk they pass out. We've had actually airplane divert. They're going from like Denver to Toronto and they like, yeah, we're diverting into Des Moines. Somebody just passed out in the fucking aisle and they can't revive them. They're like, they've got a pulse, but they can't even wake them up. And they're like driving down. And that's why I told Tony, I'm like, they will go like, they'll divert to like Oklahoma City or some shit. And when they divert you for a medical emergency, guess what? That's where you stay. And that was horrible. But I mean, I'm just like, literally, all I could hear is, ah! And I mean, I'm just going to town. I mean,
ladies and gentlemen, the food cart is unavailable because there's a corpse in the aisle.
So yeah, just like Matt said, never, like I told Lori, when we go to Vegas here in 2 weeks, the night before or the night of, no fucking way.
Well, Andy, the same thing, like you said, that morning, this is like a total Andy move too, because we have a toilet, a very well-working toilet, and then we have a giant bathtub. So what's Andy got to do? Andy decides he can't decide if he has to shit or if he has to barf.
Oh, I forgot about those.
So he sits on the toilet, and instead of just barfing in the toilet, he leans over to the bathtub and barfs all over the bathtub.
Sorry.
And he clogged
it up. Been
there,
done that.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
But he clogged up this hotel bathtub. And I don't know, it looked like he ate pieces of plastic and shit. Like, hey, there's stuff.
Better than the other way around.
I know that too. That happened at a college party once, shitting in the bathroom. Not me, some of my friends, but Blink-182 wrote a song about that. Took a shit in the bathroom tub. But yeah, that was Andy. And then, I mean, like he said, he was puking up blood, which is never a good sign. Oh. Then on the cab ride there, it took all of his power not to barf. So immediately when we got to the airport, we ran straight to the bathroom, let it all out. And then I think we went to like a deli and got some stuff to eat, and he ate, and then he was fine after that. So I don't know. I'm like, oh, you went from throwing up blood to going to like eat a bologna sandwich. Good job. I don't understand him sometimes. Yeah, he had a rough, rough morning. That was the whole time I'm sitting there. I'm like, we're not going to make it back to St. Louis today. Andy's going to get us arrested or kicked off the flight.
And
we have blood all over the cabin restroom. I'm sorry.
Must be somebody's period or something.
Yeah.
Okay. For fuck's sake. Joe, do you have a story? I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I think at least Steve and Tony are aware of my New Year's Eve drinking story. I don't remember if either one of you were there or not.
No, they weren't. No. They weren't. It was just us three.
Oh, no.
Just us three.
So really, from what I can recall from that night, Holly, one of Tony's ex-girlfriends, she was nice enough to drive me to, I think she drove me, to the New Year's party. I think I was 19, bought me alcohol and everything. And we get to some, do you even know who this girl is to this day?
Oh, I haven't seen her in years, but yeah, I know who she is.
Yeah, me neither. I wonder why. So we get to this girl's house out in Wentzville, out in the middle of nowhere. It's like a new neighborhood. And she's obviously doing well for herself. She's young, must have a decent job. She has this brand new house. She has a freaking karaoke DJ hired to come over, and we're all singing karaoke. I'm like, man, this is a nice setup. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get fucking annihilated really fast. Oh, no. And so I don't even remember what we were drinking or what we were playing, but we were playing a drinking game.
Yep.
And it was, I guess it might have been like Power Hour type.
Yeah.
Thing, where we were taking a shot of beer every minute.
Yep.
Which you don't think it sounds hard, but it is. It's very difficult. And so me being 19 and probably 120 pounds, that starts to hit me eventually. And I go and sit on the couch, and I just remember Steve looking at me, and I just basically barfed beer all over myself. And so there's like all these women there. I'm like, oh God, I gotta cover this. So I like run into the bathroom, but it didn't stop there. Instead, it looks like chili. I just like, I matrix this shit like 360 around her bathroom. I barf all over this poor girl's like brand new bathroom. I don't even really hit the toilet except for spitting a couple times. You know how you spit after you barf? So her whole bathroom is, it's like The Exorcist or whatever. And so somehow, I don't know how I slipped past everybody, because I really don't remember much after that point. I somehow make my way outside with nobody seeing me. And I guess I'm either embarrassed or just frustrated, because I know my night's over. So I decide to walk home. But in my head, I don't realize how far we are from home, because we're out in the middle of nowhere. And so basically, long story short, it's probably 10 degrees that night because it's New Year's,
yeah.
And I'm in a t-shirt, and I'm when I kind of start sobering up, I'm in the middle of some farmer's field.
Oh my god!
And so I keep walking. I keep running into barbed wire fences.
Oh,
I'm cutting myself up on the fences. I lose Andy's shirt that I was wearing because I took that off because it's bloody anyway. And I still wonder. Some poor farmer probably thought somebody got murdered on his property. I remember crossing a creek and slipping on the ice and busting my knee. So I'm like all beaten up and bloody, and I find some outer road, and it was dark. And one car is driving by, and I stick my thumb out, and this car picks me up.
A hitchhiker!
Yeah.
You were a hitchhiker!
So some dude, it was like, looking, dude, are looking, you...
Like, you puked all yourself, you were half-clothed at this point. With
bloody. I had like a t-shirt,
exactly.
T-shirt, jeans on, and bloody, and probably look like shit. Some guy picks me up, thankfully. And I remember he cranked up the heat, and he was asking me questions. And so then... I'm just like, yeah, I know where I parked my car. I parked it at Steve's parents' house. So this dude's nice enough to drive me back. Somehow, at that point, we have a search party looking for me. Steve's dad just happened to not see me, and I get back to my car, get in the car. I think I cranked up White Pony by Deftones, that album. And somehow I drive my car back to my parents' house where I'm living. And somehow I make it back in one piece. And my dad said I was cussing at the doorknob when I got in. And then I told him stories of coyotes trying to kill me and all this stuff. And so then, eventually, like, I'm awake and talking to my dad, and Steve's mom and my mom come back with flashlights and all this shit. Because I think my dad had called one of them, like, yeah, he's back. And so they're like, we have people looking for you. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm here all the time. And so I just remember the last thing, my mom took me into the bathroom and turned on the light. I was all dirty and bloody.
Oh,
like, my arms were bloody, and she washed me off. She goes, just go to bed, and we'll talk in the morning. So then you think it's over, but it's not. So the next morning, I pretty much am so dehydrated and fucked up that I didn't have a seizure, but I'm, like, so dehydrated where I can't function. My mom doesn't know what to do, so she calls the paramedics. So then I come to, and there's a fireman and a policeman standing next to me. And I remember they had to draw blood to make sure I wasn't, like, hypoglycemic and all this. I remember it took me 20 minutes to sign my name because my hand was shaking so badly. Yeah. And then for, like, 4 or 5 years after that, Steve's dad gave me a compass for Christmas every year. So it was your total.
And then, no, but then your mom and dad both told the story when they were telling us that that cop is being a fucking prick the entire time. He's like, so where'd you go? Where was the party at last night?
Yeah.
And he would not. Stop! Like hit
my mom lied for me too.
Yeah, she did.
She didn't
like,
want to indict anybody. She told him it was like, in some location where I wasn't.
Yeah, he's like, "Where was the party?" And he's being a fucking dick about it.
I don't remember much of that. I was Bill Cosby at that point. Yeah, that was a pretty rough New Year's.
I can't believe you got picked up.
I laid off drinking forever for 45 days. Then during the Super Bowl, I remember I started drinking again. It was rough.
That's an epic stretch. That was an epic drinking.
Oh yeah, I actually assumed I was going to die that.
Yeah, because Tony almost gets shot running around looking like the fucking Taliban with a fucking towel over his head. He's like, Joe.
Yeah, Tony ran around the neighborhood. Looking
I'm hammered.
For
I literally had an Afghan on my head.
I wish somebody had a drone or something and could just follow me like Grand Theft Auto. Where the hell did I go that night? I still could not tell you exactly where I was.
We were off Point Prairie. That's all
yeah.
I know.
So and, girl, which is now
you,
built
have you
up.
Have talked to this girl since the incident?
No.
I haven't even, since her. That incident, I hadn't even talked to Holly. That was the last time I even saw Holly.
No, she was never like a close friend of mine or anything. I may have seen her maybe once or twice after then.
But there's a few girls that would, like, random. I guess it was one of the girls you went out with briefly. I forgot her name.
The chick that Tony banged in her old house.
Well, that could have been a number of
I
them,
don't
but
know, yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's
I remember
a good story.
A couple girls one time like, oh, "You're that guy from the New Year's party." I'm like, "Probably, man. I couldn't tell you if you were sitting at the table with me."
I ratted Tony out supposedly, so that's all Tony's ever going to say.
I have nothing to
this
say.
This is definitely coming up on another episode. Fucking look for it.
Okay.
Okay.
Fucking look for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was mine. That's the worst one I have. I have a lot of bad ones, but
that's a good one. That's a
that was
is
the
that
best.
Is that like the best of the best right there?
Yeah, it was fun because I ended up not dying.
I know I almost got my ass kicked that night.
Oh,
I was going into people's backyards.
I had some phantom guy pick me up and not rape me and take me back to my car.
Put the lotion in the basket.
We'll come back to this one. I got some good ones too.
All right, so what's next, Matthew?
We're going to talk about George Miller, who is the director of the most recent... Well, he's done more than that. Jay, go over his filmography for
us. He wrote and directed all the Mad Max films. He also directed Witches of Eastwick, wrote and directed Lorenzo's Oil. This was the big one. He wrote and directed Babe, Pig in the City.
I did not know that.
Oh, God. And that, Happy Feet Blu-ray. 1 and 2. So
the guy that did,
so the guy that did Mad Max did Happy Feet and Babe, Pig in the City.
Wow. Wow. Well, and the reason why we're bringing him up is because Man of Steel 2 has been put on permanent hiatus due to the fact that the initial reaction to the execs at Warner Brothers, they liked so much what they saw of Batman v Superman that they went and gave Affleck a trilogy of three standalones, and basically that's where the direction the company's going to go with. So we're not going to see a continuation of just a solo Superman movie for quite some time.
Maybe it's because it's impossible to get a solo Superman movie done.
It's difficult, we'll say that, because of, you know, how can... He's infallible, like we've spoken before. So really, how can you give him any drama to play off of? But the George Miller thing I wanted to go over, the fact that he was tied to do Man of Steel 2. And originally he was tied to do the first Justice League movie back in 2007. But that's when the writer's strike hit. And the reason why I wanted to go over that was basically, here was his cast. He had Armie Hammer, who was the Winklevii twins in Social Network. He was going to be the new Batman. DJ Catrona was going to be the new Superman. Megan Gale was going to be Wonder Woman. Adam Brody from The OC was going to be the Flash. But this one interested me the most was that Common was going to be the Green Lantern.
I like those last two.
That was odd to me. I mean, because he's not really known for his acting roles whatsoever.
He's done bit roles, but they've always seemed pretty good.
Putting him into the Green Lantern role, I thought that was interesting.
You know what? I like that better than Tyrese.
Yeah. Oh, a lot. Oh, jeez. Yeah, way better. But no, I mean, the fact that it came out, there were basically the script was leaked, and we were going to see Aquaman was going to be in it as well. The main villain was going to be Maxwell Lord. Martian Manhunter was going to make an appearance. One of the love interests was going to be a girl by the name of Zoe Kassan, was going to play Iris West Allen. And then, Tone, are you ready for this one?
Lay it on me.
Teresa Palmer.
Ooh.
As Talia al Ghul. And the basis of the story was going to be off a Mark Waid comic called Tower of Babel. And it was basically going to be structured around Batman has files on all of the members of the Justice League that were then stolen by Ra's al Ghul. Mm. And it kind of goes off from there.
Did they say how Maxwell Lord was going to be the main bad guy?
They did not. Not in the articles I read for the research on going over this topic. I don't know how he would have played into it, but I would have been interested in it. I think we'll get some more details because there's rumors to be that there's going to be a documentary over why the movie wasn't made.
I'm curious on that because in the comic, Maxwell Lord started the Justice League International mm-hmm. as like a benefactor of it. Mm-hmm. And eventually it goes bad, but I would have much rather seen him start out as the benefactor and kind of work his way to that bad guy role.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you were talking, but they had it rumored there was going to be a $200 million budget. This documentary that will cover, it's going to be called Miller's Justice League Mortal. And one of the cool things about it was you were going to see two Bruce Waynes at the same time, because The Dark Knight was released 2008, I guess. So you would have had two Bruce Waynes in continuity at the same time, which I always was like, I'm not a big fan of that. I would have rather seen Christian Bale's Batman show up in this version. But I think they were going for a much younger version of the cast.
And I remember that was the debate at the time. I'm like, why don't you have Christian Bale doing both roles? But then that also brought up why Smallville, I can't think of his name.
Tom Welling
was Superman at the time.
And I still don't understand why DC is so anti taking your television property characters and integrating them into your movie world.
Especially after Marvel set it up for him.
Well, I mean, you had a 10-year run on Smallville where the guy's mm-hmm. fully ingrained, it has a huge following, fits the role just fine. Why
and
not?
Had two roles since then,
basically. And then, I mean, even now with the current version, they're going with someone else to play Flash when you have Grant Gustin already ingrained in it. You can bring Green Arrow. Green Arrow's got a huge following from the TV world. Why not just bring
in the wrestling world?
Yeah, and I just don't understand why they don't bring him into it. I just thought it was interesting that you had this movie. I'm interested in these new documentaries that are coming out. They're all these documentaries are coming out about why certain movies did not get made. And I like to see that aspect of the behind the story stuff. I think that'd be pretty cool to see that.
I heard something on I think it was Fat Man on Batman. But I guess at one point, I don't know what the name of it was, but Kevin Smith and his wife had a podcast or something, mm-hmm. and they had interviewed Adam Brody. And between that interview and an article I read, the project pretty much had, like, the green light. I guess they were, like, 2 weeks away from starting full-on production, because mm-hmm. apparently Brody started dating Teresa Palmer, and they were going to be shooting in Australia. So he was going to go down there maybe a week before work was supposed to start, hang out with her, and then that's when it just... Done. Just apart. Plug got pulled.
The writer strike had everything to do with that.
Well, and I think his character on the League had something to do with it too.
Adam Brody's character on the League.
He was one of the owners that wasn't in town.
Oh, really? I don't think I've been that far in the series then.
Spoiler alert! He died in the last season.
Spoilers. I like that show though. That's a good show.
New season's on Netflix. We just started it today.
And then I guess Tony, we're going to go off of that from DC World over to Marvel, is still prevalent is a Blade reboot. They're still going to try and get that to go through.
Which would be nice. Did you like Part 3?
I did. I liked it.
It's not that I didn't...
It wasn't great.
Yeah, I didn't dislike it. But
it's one of those movies that's like, it's not great, not bad, just it's watchable.
Yeah.
I didn't make it through it because something came up in the middle of it, and I never went back and finished it.
And you're not missing anything because there's no continuity to it, you know. But I heard the crazy things I heard while looking up some stuff on this one was, I guess Wesley Snipes went kind of insane on set between, because the guy that directed the movie was the guy that wrote the first two and wrote this one as well, David Goyer.
Yeah,
that's right.
And he was the director on this third one.
And he attacked him on set or something.
Something, yeah. And basically, it was a matter of Wesley Snipes refused to talk to the director of the movie. The only way they communicated was through post-it notes. They would leave post-it notes
it's
for
like
him.
Sex in the City.
he would leave post-it notes to the director signed as Blade. Like, he thought he was really Blade. So,
Jesus.
Yeah, he went a little crazy. So,
and that, kids, is why you don't smoke crack.
And pay your taxes.
Right.
Definitely pay your taxes. Because then, since then, Goyer's moved over to the DC world. And basically... Where Blade went from Trinity was it went to a Spike TV series.
Oh, man. And terrible.
So where you're at now is basically they're talking about, hey, Punisher, you're going to see Punisher and Daredevil, but they've got the rights. Marvel has the rights to Punisher and Ghost Rider and Blade. They're trying to figure out which one do we try to tackle because we know how much Tony loved Ghost Rider, both of them, and how well they were done.
Maybe Nicolas Cage is available.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Who? What? Where?
Now, granted, I didn't mind the first. Like, all right, I didn't mind the first one, as you heard me say. But God, Part Two, holy fuck!
And
I have nothing else to say.
I don't know. I don't know if Punisher's a character that they just can't get right. Is he a Superman type character? We just can't get him right.
They're worried about hitting all audiences with their movies, but he's a character you really can't do anything with other than rated R movie.
And well,
and you're not going to get the box office with that.
Where they're going now with is since you've had the success of Daredevil. It would appear that, and you're going to see Punisher in it, it would appear that maybe heroes like Ghost Rider and Blade would fit more in the Netflix TV world. Instead of going movie route, we might be seeing a reboot of Blade via television, and a 13-episode kind of thing.
The only problem I see with that would be cost for someone like Ghost Rider and
special effects. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think Blade could work.
Blade could work as
a TV, you know, serial. So, because... Again, I think we touched on a previous episode was...
Serial?
Where we're going to is focus on his daughter. And they've actually created a character on her. The guy that created her is Tim Seeley. Tim Seeley is a horror comics writer. He did a book called Hack Slash.
Very good book.
And he's also done Revival, which I haven't read that one yet. But the daughter's name is Fallon Gray. And they basically called her the 16-year-old anti-Peter Parker. Where she's popular, she's well-liked. But they've moved Blade from a quote-unquote urban environment which you can look into that. How
because he's black.
Afro-American.
And they're going to give him more of a rule. They're going to put him out in a rural setting, which I don't know if that really fits his...
St. Peter's.
They're basically just trying to give Blade something more to care about rather than, you know, his only purpose is stabbing vampires, right? They're going to stab a vampire in the heart. I have no other driving force behind my character.
The now movies were entertaining, but they could never sustain a comic book based off
the premise
that whole premise.
Yeah.
But
what they're doing now,
focusing on a female character, maybe. Yeah.
And so I think what they're going to try and do is turn the daughter into the new Blade.
You hear that, Vince Gilligan? Turn into a female character.
Yeah, putting her as a
fuck
lead.
You, misogynist.
Well, what sucked about Blade 3, there was no finality to it. That's the whole point. We're wrapping up a trilogy. Mm-hmm. So he kills Drake, a.k.a. Dracula, whatever.
Oh, and then you got me excited there for a second.
No, not the Canadian one. And then like, oh, yeah, he's still out there fighting the good fight because there's still vampires around. But I'm like... It was a stupid ending.
Joe, did you know that Drake was on Degrassi?
Yeah, he was in a wheelchair, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah.
He was a wheelchair character,
yes,
on Degrassi? Yep.
He was shot by another student.
Oh, ooh. Drama.
And he liked to wear dresses.
Drake sucks.
So I have a question. Does everybody think, so is this whole Superman thing going to turn out to be like the Incredible Hulk? Like for Marvel, DC, you know what I'm saying? Because
actually, that's a good point they made. Because a lot of his work is all CG, and he's a good supporting. Hey, if we need a big heavy hitter, this is the guy you bring in to take it all. How can you sustain a story? Because basically, Hulk's story, I need to be alone. Well, how can you focus on a guy that all he's trying to do is be left alone? You can't do anything with it. So, yeah. As far as creating a trilogy or an ongoing story about it. I don't think there's
right,
anywhere to go with.
But I mean, for Superman, it's like now they're going to... Okay, it's like he made his movie, great movie, but then it's like done.
Well, yeah, well, they got Batman v Superman, which is the jumping point for the Justice League movie, which is, I guess, is a two-parter. Got like Justice League Part 1 and 2 or something like that. So he'll be in those. And then Wonder Woman's coming, and so is Aquaman. I don't know what his release date is. But yeah, he's mostly playing a supporting role, I guess, not his...
From this point forward, yeah. At least with the George Miller news coming out that he's no longer moving forward, I find kind of funny because George Miller just had a huge hit. Mad Max Fury Road is
Fury, yeah. Like
that one did very well at the box office. It generated Warner Brothers a ton of money. And you'd think they want to see if he can recreate that. And they're just going to say, nope, no need to. We're just going to... ride this Batman success out for a while and see where it goes.
Just don't turn this into Superman Returns, for the love of God. Please don't do that.
I think I would hope they'd learn from that.
But then I guess that ends our comic movie reviews. We can go over to Wes Craven passing away on us.
Yeah.
Anybody remember seeing Nightmare on Elm Street for the first time?
Oh my God.
It was a long time ago, but yeah.
Scared the crap out of me.
I watched it by myself. First time, way too young to be watching that movie in our parents' basement, and it's just... It freaked me out, man.
I don't even know if I've seen it, to be honest. You've never seen it?
Oh,
I mean,
man.
I think I have. I just don't remember the first
time. When you're a kid, it scares the shit. I mean, if you watch it now, I don't know if it really hold up as an adult now, but...
So I went through and sat down and looked at his resume, and for every nightmare he had a bad movie to go with it. So he wrote and directed Nightmare 1 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
He did the original Hills Have Eyes in 1977. He wrote and directed those. But then, in between those, he had Vampire in Brooklyn.
Eddie Murphy. He wrote that?
He directed that one.
Oh, he directed it, but he didn't write it. Okay.
He directed People Under the Stairs, which is pretty scary.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This was a great movie from when I was younger. Shocker. He directed that.
I don't remember Shocker. Which one was that about?
The guy in the electric chair.
Three Bamba?
Jesus.
A guy got electrocuted in the electric chair and became part of the electric current and would go around killing people.
Okay.
It was a pretty good movie. He directed Swamp Thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Then he did the Scream movies, 1 through 4.
But Screamer, really, I really like the first Scream.
I thought that revitalized horror movies.
Yeah.
Because they seemed so flat for a while.
You went from the 80s slashers.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, Friday the 13th and the Halloweens and all that. And those went kind of stagnant there. And then, yeah, like you said, Rebirth with that one. Which by making fun of all the 80s slashers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. I liked the first one a lot.
And then he did Red Eye.
I liked Red Eye. That was with Rachel McAdams.
I didn't see it, but I know
the guy that played.
I remember
Cillian Murphy.
Yep.
Was
yep.
in it. It's actually not too bad. It's one
I never
of
actually saw
ones.
It, but it was a little different from the other horror movies
yeah.
he's done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he quite the resume.
That's like that's a really good resume to be honest with you.
All ends of the spectrum there.
Well, he also I think then he did Last House on the Left. I think was one that he did as well, and that's from the 70s. I think that's one of his first ones. I think he might have been the writer.
Might have been.
It. I don't know if you directed it, but what I noticed when I was looking at his filmography was the fact that I don't think I've seen his originals as much as I've seen the remakes. And that's always shows you a good sign of his material was always good, and it's good enough to be modernized.
Yeah.
That's, I mean...
He technically got credited with the remake of Hills Have Eyes in the sequel.
In the sequel, yeah.
Because he did the original story.
I never saw the original one. But the remake, I love the remake. The remake of Hills Have Eyes. The second one's not that great, but the first one, really good. I really enjoyed that one. And Last House on the Left is kind of hard to get through. There's a pretty brutal scene in there. And I think Pinkman's in that one, actually, if I remember correctly. From Breaking Bad, I think he's in that one. And then the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street. I don't know if they... Did they give him any writing credit for that one?
I think they gave him writing credit, but...
Because what's his name was actually Freddy, the guy with Rorschach from.
I know who. I can see the face. I just can't think of his name.
He played a great Freddy. I thought he was really good, really creepy as hell.
What is it?
I think
what
he got writing credit in every Nightmare on Elm Street because he
Rorschach
or story credit at least.
Yeah. So great resume. I think I go back to Scream. I would think that. Scream is actually one of my more favorite ones on his list, to be honest with you. I just like the fact that it was kind of a laugh in the face of stuff that he was heavily involved with.
I saw that at Northwest Plaza, which was kind of a ghetto movie theater.
BPC, and not a J.
You remember the scene in not another teen movie. The Scream... spoof
parody?
Movie. Scary movie.
Scary movie, okay.
Where they're sitting there and they're all yelling at the movie theater and people are getting upset about it and they end up stabbing her.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was like.
When you watch the movie? Yes. People yelling.
Run! Run, bitch, run!
Yeah. I think my favorite scene in Scream that you kind of like, when you watch it, it was kind of okay, but then you on its rewatchability part of it, when you watch the blonde get stuck in the doggy door in the garage. Oh,
Rose McGowan.
Rose McGowan. Yeah,
she was married to
Marilyn Manson.
Marilyn Manson. Yeah. For a while.
See, the thing is, I remember watching Scream. I liked Scream, but Scary Movie sticks with me more. The spoof of it.
The spoof of it sticks with me more. I think. Well, Scream was also because it was original. You hadn't seen anything like that.
They took elements of previous horror movies and incorporated them and made it something original.
No, I'm surprised Joe hasn't watched the TV series. It's on MTV. I mean, I would assume they put it right near Catfish.
This season of Catfish is over, so fuck yourself.
He's a little testy when Catfish isn't on.
Man, I won't even get into Catfish. We're talking about Wes Craven. Oh, hey, it's a fat white chick. That was Catfish. Me. Go figure. It's 90% of every fucking episode.
I love what he
I thought I was talking
fish.
To Antoinette. No, it's me, Margaret.
Well, there's Wes Craven. Rest in peace, sir.
Yes, sir.
We'll be missed. Good stuff.
What about some other movies we've watched?
The only one I've watched recently was by Tony's favorite director. Actually, he wasn't even the director of it, but he was the producer. Michael Bay's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, God.
I actually liked it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we watched it the other day.
I thought it wasn't bad.
It was actually not bad.
They put some nods into the original cartoon. I think they kind of tried to make fun of the original, too, a little bit. But they had everything that you would expect from a Turtles movie. They didn't, and what I liked about it a lot was they didn't spend too much time on origin. There was a little bit of origin in there.
That was good.
And there was just enough origin to get anyone that wasn't familiar with the product that, hey, this is what these guys are. And when it first came out, the way they looked, the turtles themselves looked, the alien look of them. I was like, this is really weird. But it didn't bother me when I was actually watching it.
That was my issue, the way they looked the whole time. And it actually scared my kids more than anything, the way they looked. And then when we went back and watched the original movie from 1989, and they liked that movie so much better.
That's a good
one. It was campier. Yeah. And I think for kids, that's a little bit better.
The story in the original one was better because it was an accident and not made to happen.
Yeah.
That's why I was like,
"Who?" Well, when the first trailer came out, the guy, I can't think of his name.
The guy that's played Shredder?
Yeah, well, like his Shredder's apprentice guy, or whatever his name is. Yeah. I can't fucking think of his
name. He's in all of Bay's movies. Yeah. He's in a lot of Bay's movies.
Well, for a minute I thought that they, the way they edited the trailer and everything, they made it seem like he was Shredder, like putting on this suit and stuff. And I was like, you whitewashing motherfuckers. Like, Shredder is not some white dude from, you know, New York.
William Kevin Fichtner. Nash.
Yeah. What's that?
Or Kevin Nash. Nash was Shredder, too, in the second movie.
But he was always in the outfit. He was always in the armor. Right. You never saw that's who that was.
But when they finally showed that actual Shredder and, like, his armor and shit, I'm like, holy shit.
Well, Johnny Knoxville was Leonardo?
Yeah.
I did not know that at all.
I don't even need to tell Tony who's in part two, do I?
Stephen Amell's in
Stephen
part two.
Stephen Amell's Casey Jones, yeah.
Really?
And Megan Fox, I didn't really have too big of a problem with her.
Well, see, here's the thing, though. See, this is different, though. They killed Shredder off in this one, but in our era of movies, the secret of the use is when he dies. Because remember the whole dot collapse?
Die.
Of,
yeah.
He didn't die in the first.
I think he's not. No, he's not dead.
Really?
No.
At the end of this remake? Or the
yeah, this
like
one.
Jason Voorhees. He just keeps coming back.
No, I think he survived the fall.
But, I mean, overall, is it worth watching? Tony, what would be your review of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Fuck you, go watch it.
I could say fuck you, go watch it. Stamp of approval. I liked it.
Turtle power.
I think Megan Fox is going to buy up every property we have from the 80s and just ruin them all.
Well, what else would he have to do? We're going to do probably see a He-Man eventually, right?
She's single now.
Oh,
she'll be She-Ra.
Right.
Oh yeah, me and Lori were talking about this. Megan Fox's like fucking lips or something. She just doesn't look like. You get in there and it's like, what the fuck is wrong with her? It's like, dude, why did you do that?
She's a good looking girl to begin with.
Yeah, she didn't need to do any of that stuff to her. Yeah.
But then she's got the toe thumbs too.
Get over the goddamn toe thumbs, Jay. God.
She's pretty much a domestic terrorist because of that. Can I get on
you just talk about
toe thumbs?
You're just saying what movies we just recently watched? Any of them? Or
yeah.
The new RoboCop. Me and Lori, because that guy that played the
Rorschach.
Yeah, Rorschach. He was the military guy that
that tested the RoboCop program.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, the one he was going at there. So. I mean, the new RoboCop, I like the way they did it.
I thought it was good.
It was good, but I mean...
It was good, but I mean, it was just, holy shit, days, man. Yeah, it's like that part where he's like, they take him apart, he's like, I want to see how bad it was. And he's like, all it is his fucking lungs and his spine, and he's like, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. That was Jesus. A big touch. Yeah, I thought on that, but...
There was not much left.
I knew I should not have taken my 3-year-old to that movie.
I don't think I've watched
white trash parent we live around. I love when you go into a rated R movie and there's 6 kids sitting with one parent. It's like, well, it's my off day, so I'm going to bring Crystal along with me and her 5 siblings.
I'll do PG-13 movies, not R.
Joe, how would Lucas Black solve the issues in RoboCop?
A race.
They'd solve it with a race.
I can't.
How are we going to solve this? A race. Ooh, God, did not see that coming.
Other than the comedy that I laughed my ass off during American Sniper, I don't think I've seen anything else. Nothing since then. God. I'm kind
of
bored.
I went through a box of tissues laughing so hard through American Sniper.
Jay, you had something, didn't you?
Yeah, we recently watched Insurgent.
Which was the sequel to Divergent.
To Divergent. Yeah. And we really liked Divergent, but Insurgent just was kind of flat. The first 2/3 of the movie is just kind of boring, just kind of happened. And then the ending, it was a solid ending.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I was like, well, that kind of made up for it. But then, since thinking about it, it's like, well, no, it really wasn't that good of a movie.
Because I don't... Divergent is kind of... Is it very similar to Hunger Games? Kind of,
yeah. Because like, it's all future? About the dystopian future and different classes. And this one, it kind of builds on that a little. It doesn't... Well, so touches on it a little bit at the beginning.
So
but
a poor man's Hunger Games, what we're going to call it?
Yeah. Okay. Definitely with the sequel. Yeah. And then we watch The Kingsman. Okay. Which was... Over the top violent, which made it a lot of fun.
And Kingsman's a cool, and also the end when
Samuel gets Jackson with the lisp and saying shit so often, it was hilarious. You can't take him seriously doing that, but it was a lot of fun.
So does this move? Does it have rewatchability? Like if you were to purchase it, would you be able to watch it over and over? Or is it just one of those? What once was enough kind of thing.
I think I could watch it over and over and enjoy it, but I don't think most other people could. I have the ability to sit there through those type of movies and enjoy them a lot.
What about at the end where he has sex with the princess in a place that's very uncomfortable?
That was awesome.
You can put it in the asshole?
Hey, she says that.
Yep. And you can see it through his glasses.
Yeah. Oh,
what was the kid's name? Was it Eggie or some
something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It was eggy or something weird.
It was definitely worth checking out.
It's worth checking out. Okay.
It's a good movie.
We'll talk about it in the future when we look at the comic book and compare it to the movie.
Okay. I think, Toner, we're going to go over to our strangest things that have ever happened to you stories.
Strangest things.
Ooh.
It doesn't have to be drinking related. It can just be anything.
I'm trying to think. I mean, waking up in the shower was pretty strange.
Waking up with that guy obviously was for you.
Yeah. He was dead.
Still hard for some reason.
Still got the job done.
Yeah. Rigor mortis had set in.
I got one.
It's like a clerk.
On the way over here. So I'm driving down Highway 70, and I'm in the Focus, which is the first time I've drove it since my surgery because it's stick shift. And so I'm just going along. I hear a pop, and I look up. And where our sunroof is, there's a little hole in the little screen, and it's just clear. And I look back in the mirror, and I see it come crashing down in the middle of the highway.
Oh, shit.
The sunroof, the glass popped off the car, mid-highway driving at 80 miles an hour, and shattered.
All over the highway?
All over the highway.
Didn't hit anybody's car, I guess.
No, there was a good, I don't know, mile between me and the next person.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm like, did that really just happen?
So you, right now, outside, you have no
I have no sunroof on the car right now.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah.
Heat expansion,
sign that
man.
It's time for the Focus to die, because that's the same Focus that you pissed on.
It's getting me back now.
At WWE. Wow.
I'm like, clear out the garage. We're parking in there tonight.
Jesus.
Nice.
I was going to go with some of my surgery stuff before that, but...
Go for it. I don't really have any stories to partake in this one, to be honest.
Have you ever been knocked out for a surgery?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think, I'm trying to remember what...
Like, I've passed out drunk a lot, and there's just... When you get knocked out for a surgery, there's just...
Gone.
Nothing.
Because, I remember...
Because you wake up...
Four times.
Like nothing happened.
Four times. It's so... The first time, I was fucking crazy. I was like, they're like, do you you know the happy stuff to give you so you did it? I'm like, nope, just do it. And man, that it's you see it go in, warm feeling, done. And then like, hey, how'd it go? Oh, everything was fine. I'm like, whoa.
Your testicles were successfully removed, sir.
Congratulations, Caitlin.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, getting knocked, because I got knocked out for my wisdom teeth. I had my wisdom teeth taken out, and they
oh, shit, that's
that.
Five.
And, yeah, they told me to count back from 100. So 100, 99, boom.
Why do they do that? It's like they're just fucking with you.
I guess.
They didn't do that to me.
All I remember is they told me to count back, and I was gone.
They gave you something to focus on?
It took a while for the surgery, and you're back up. And you're like, wow, I can't believe that happened. Yeah.
So you're like, count back from 10. I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah, they make you focus on something so you don't go into, like, shock. Because if you go into shock like that, you could, like, literally die from it.
Why don't they just have a chick flash you real quick then? You're like, oh, titty!
put me in a stitch.
Sit on my face.
They didn't say anything to me. They just put them in, and they're like, we're putting it in now. And
yeah, that's
next thing I know, I'm...
No, but that's the thing is, they either make you count or they actually talk to you because they're like, all right, we're going to start the... That's it. It's like, fuck, man. Weird. About the weirdest fucking feeling.
The anesthesiologist that got in trouble because they were... The guy, like, had a recording device in there. He let it run while he was under, and they have it all. He has it all on tape, and they're all making fun of him while he's under, like making fun of his dick size and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm glad I didn't bring one when I was in.
Fuck.
He must have been scared. He was frightened.
I'm trying to think. I don't have strangest thing that ever happened to me. I'm gonna keep thinking. If anybody else has a story, go. I don't think it's
my vasectomy was kind of strange for me.
We'll just post pictures on that.
Oh, look at this. Tony's getting a phone call during the podcast.
But it's just one of those things. It's kind of it's strange and kind of crazy because you see smoke coming from the laser.
Oh.
And it's your flesh burning, and it's burning from the place you never want your flesh to be burning from. So yeah, that was kind of odd. I will say it was a bit strange for me.
Stories,
but you're also you're completely numb, but yet you still feel pulling. It's not good. I didn't like it. I would never volunteer to go through it again.
Yeah, it's kind of the same way I got LASIK surgery.
Yeah,
and it's the same theory because you're awake and your eyes are numb.
But you still feel pressure.
And you feel, you smell like a burning smell. Like, what the fuck is going on? Uh-huh. Yeah, it's really weird. I guess I have one. It's pretty decent. I don't know how long ago it was. Probably 6 years ago, maybe.
Yell at him online. Just do it now. Tell him, shut up. Come on. Somebody, you don't.
What? Tony's on his phone, so we're all
he's
just
ruining the podcast.
Yeah, Tony's ruining the podcast. Way to go.
He's like, really? You do that for me?
My wife at least texts, doesn't call me.
Does this have to anything to do with a reverse Pakistani drill press?
Oh, here, let's look that up real quick. Fuck this. Man. I'm doing it now while he is in reverse.
We can finish this without him, Pekka.
So my story, like I was saying, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, and this took place in the good town of Wentzville, Missouri. And I actually was not living there. I was at my place in St. Peter's at the time. And my mom calls me one day and said, hey, there's a card wedged in our front door. It's from a detective in Wentzville, and he wants to speak with you. Steve, you're ruining it. Okay, wait. First off, reverse Pakistani drill press.
To gain sexual explosion by standing above someone who positions themselves upside down and then faces the opposite direction, thrusting down upon them with the purpose and mimicking of a drill press machine. Here's the sentence. I got this. Hold on. Phil points his anus towards the sky and Tina drills into the reverse. Tina drills. Stop it.
Wait a minute. That's not how that's supposed
Lori,
to be.
Lori, why don't you read it in the sentence?
Phil points his anus towards the sky, and Tina drills into him reverse Pakistani drill press style like a flower stalk into a vase.
Why didn't he insert
And that was submitted
that
by Backpuss 2013.
Backpuss 2013.
So anyway, I guess I can tell this story with an erection, but so my story, like I had said, Wentzville, Missouri, 5-6 years ago, my mom calls me and says that there's a business card in their door that basically they're wanting to talk to me, our police station.
You're not going to be able to get through the store until he's done doing his shit.
Okay, Steve, go ahead and read it, even though we obviously
know
Joe
restart his story for the third time.
When a guy stands over a girl with her ankles pinned behind her ears by his hands, and he goes up and down on her like a drill press, used in a sentence, Bob's wife asked if I could perform a Pakistani drill press on her last night.
Submitted by
multiple
people. Oh,
wait, scroll down a little bit, Steve. Related are ankles, checking the oil level, and death from above.
Death from above.
And dipsticking.
Down pound.
Wow.
Okay, Steve, are you going to ruin my thunder anymore on Urban Dictionary?
No, I'm going to type in this
one.
Oh,
Jesus Christ, I'm not even going to bother.
No, here, I'm going to minimize it. We can read it after.
The Craig boy being total divas today. Oh,
yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, fuck you.
Should I just start my story
over? Yes,
start
it
over.
Right,
sorry.
Wentzville, 3 to 5 years ago. No, 3 to 5 years ago.
No,
no,
5 to 6 years ago.
Listen, asshole.
God damn.
God. Clean the fucking...
relatives out of here.
For the love of fucking God, enough of the anti-Semite shit.
Oh, please.
I'm glad Tupac's dead. So long story short, my mom calls me.
There's a business card in your door.
Yes, okay. And the neighbor confirms to my parents, they were not at home at the time, which is why the card was left behind, that there were men in suits that were watching the front and the back of the house.
Sector 7.
Yeah, and they were looking for me. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I'm like, yeah, that's hilarious. I don't know why. And then, of course, whenever you find out a detective's looking for you, you're like, fuck, I got to clear the browsing history on my computer. That was my first thought. But it turns out I called the guy, and he didn't give me any info, of course, because why would they? And he just asked me if I could meet him at the station. So I did. So I walked in. It was just like you'd see on Dateline or anything. I'm in the room with the two-way mirror. I have a camera pointing down on me, and I have a detective grilling me.
Are you anal guy 6969?
I'm like, no, there's only one 69 in my name. I knew you had the wrong one. And so basically he's asking me right off the bat. He had two pictures of these senior citizens and asked if I knew either one, and I said no. And so some guy with my name had ripped off these people for thousands of dollars, and come to find out, there is a guy with my full name, just a different middle initial, that lives in, like, I think in Warrenton or Wright City or something. And this dude, if you look him up on CaseNet, which is our local You Did It website, he has like four pages of shit with his name. So I got to tell the guy that, by the way, I think his middle name's L, mine's J, I think you found the wrong guy. He's like, oh. I'm like, you're a shitty detective. And but it was really freaking weird because I had never been interrogated, much less
now, when you
getting called in for something you have absolutely no idea.
So when you went in, were you scared? Did you think you needed a lawyer for any reason, or did you just go in by yourself?
I went in because I was curious too, and he couldn't have known if I were nervous or scared because I was totally sunburned from the Cardinal game the day before, so I was beet red. Oh, he even mentioned it. He's like, fuck, man. He's like, look at your skin. I was like, I got alopecia. I'm a baked chicken.
Oh, yeah. Back to that.
Speaking of baked chicken.
Baked chicken, the sexual act of tying a passed out girl's hands and feet behind her back and having anal sex with her.
Oh, fuck.
In a That's sentence, my girlfriend passed out last night and I gave her the old baked chicken.
And I like the fact they have Obama on the ad looking about as creepy as could be.
Look at Kim Kardashian.
Kardashian looks even creepier.
Kardashian looks shocked.
Baked chicken. Well, wasn't Babe Pig in the City about Khloe Kardashian?
Oh, fuck. Okay.
All right. Let's see. I think that's we covered all of our topics except for I think Joe's going to quiz us.
Steve, you got to close that.
He's going to quiz us cheat on the Urban Dictionary stuff.
No, surely not. No.
The act,
oh, nasty.
The act of shitting on a female's chest and proceeding to titty fucker.
Oh, God.
Okay.
I've heard that mentioned before.
Okay.
Wait. Look at the sentence.
50 Cent is such a skank. Why is he always chili?
Chili dog is mama.
Oh.
Why do people not know how to spell mama correctly? There's two M's in it. Inbred pieces of shit. It's not M-O-M-A.
Hot pocket.
All right, Steve. Jesus Christ.
Alabama Hot Pocket. The art of separating the vagina lips and taking a shat inside and possibly having sex with that. Oh, my fucking.
What the hell is wrong with you, Steve?
At least they said possibly having sex
with that. I clicked
on it. Don't. You're going to have some feds knocking on your door.
Shania decided her vagina
questions.
Needed some lube, so her boyfriend performed an Alabama hot dog.
Maybe that YouTube suspension was valid.
God, yeah,
okay.
Definitely going to suspend us now.
Steve, close the window. I have to quiz you now.
We've got to wrap this damn episode up.
Yeah, that hottest tech talent is creeping me out.
Tony Danza is related to Alabama hot
dog. The angry dragon. Okay, the Tony Danza. When you're giving it to a chick from behind, you yell out, "Who's the boss?" And she'll get confused to turn her head around. And at this moment, you donkey punch her in the face and then scream, "Tony Danza!" The sentence used in a sentence. Oh man, I totally pwned Jeff's girlfriend last night when I gave her a Tony Danza. Submitted by Brian H.
Oh, okay.
All right, yeah. Steve, close that out. And JD, you got to go ahead and quiz us on the
Urban Dictionary question. Mine might not be that nasty. I'm just going to go straight down a list of one page. Ooh, man, this first one's good. All right, so who wants to guess what Stahl Brother is?
Oh, Jesus.
Stahl Brother.
You pass the TP from one stall to another?
No. These aren't necessarily dirty.
Can we?
But you are. Kind
should
of,
I? Can I like give the answer? Like you put it and then get the answer up there. Is that what you want me to do?
No. I mean, I got Urban Dictionary up right here.
Oh, okay.
Go for it, Joe. What
I was quizzing
it?
You guys. What do you think Stahl Brother means?
Stahl Brother. I don't even want to know. I don't think
it's not that bad.
Okay. Oh,
and this
know.
Is actually something that you could all relate to working at Citibank.
When Toner sticks his foot under the stall next to him and starts tapping.
No, but that's actually kind of along the same lines. Okay. So a stall brother is a person who enters and occupies a public restroom stall adjacent to the stall that's already occupied, despite the fact that there were other stalls available that would have allowed a buffer, negatively affecting the enjoyment of your activity. Fuck. An offense similar to occupying the middle urinal.
Oh, gotcha.
Very true.
A-hole.
Total etiquette failure right there, yeah.
Ooh. I had to know how to pronounce this. What's an emergent turd?
Emergent turd. Is this a turtle? Like a turtle.
Prairie dogging.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty straightforward.
Kind of, or not.
It's coming in and out.
Yeah.
An emergent turd. It's a poop that comes on so suddenly that one fears they may not make it to the toilet.
Yeah.
Emergent turd. I don't think I've ever heard that.
I like prairie dogging better.
Yeah. This one, I have a feeling Steve might get. Pedalicious. Pedalicious.
Something with underage.
It has to do with his Facebook girls?
Someone or something that exudes an aura of pedophilia, such as a creepy old man with candy or an older man with tinted windows.
Or a guy with 15-year-olds on Facebook.
And an orange spoiler.
Go drive your Volkswagen, you piece of shit.
Good podcast, Toner.
Yeah.
Good podcast.
Yeah. Solid, solid.
Internet gold.
Yep.
Internet gold.
Yeah, I'm just kind of scrolling through here. I mean,
I thought he had this planned out.
I don't have anything
have this
planned
out. At all.
He's like, yeah, I got a list.
And now I have to go home with the fact that I now know what a Pakistani girl is.
Matt's going to be
Danza.
Yeah, Matt's going to pull a Tony Danza tonight.
Jesus.
Hey, babe, come here. We're going to Tony Danza tonight.
I'll read
tonight.
Just a couple more. What do you think bathroom stalling is?
Bathroom stalling.
Finishing up reading while you're on the stall.
Not going back to work because you just don't want to go back to work kind of thing?
I read in a sense, dude, I did some bathroom stalling because the guy next to me ripped a big one. I couldn't stand to look him in the eye.
That's proper etiquette. Nice.
Waiting to leave the bathroom has to avoid any contact with people in the stalls.
Oh, yeah, I've done that plenty of
time.
Yeah. I don't ever want to see people there. That, yeah,
that's a regular thing at work.
Yeah.
Here's something we...
Shame.
Here's something we say to everybody in real life. Take a wild fucking guess. A remark used when someone asks a question about something, especially when it's stupid. I guess I'll read one more. These really aren't as funny as I was hoping they'd be. I guess we kind of went downhill after the chili dog. Body by Mattel.
Body by Mattel.
Some girl
the unachievable
surgery.
Body for a girl.
As in, nothing on that gal is more than 5 years old. My daughter has Barbie dolls older than that. I wonder if she's stamped with a Body by Mattel logo. Yeah?
So the anti-dad bod is what we're saying? Yeah, okay. There you go.
That was kind of lame. I wish I would have just...
You didn't come prepared.
I wish I would have taken out the Tony.
Joe Dust, everybody. Yeah, nice job, man.
Steve will be picking up in his golf cart after the podcast.
He can give us rides to our cars in the golf cart.
I'll just go steal we'll somebody's golf cart here in Newtown.
All right, what else we got?
That's it.
That was
wrap
the end
us up.
Of the outline, sir.
Joe Dust.
Actually, I have one more that's relevant to this podcast I just came across. I'm Batman Syndrome.
Go for it.
When Batman fans try to rationalize that Batman would beat any other superhero because he's Batman and nothing more. When realistically, any other superhero would strangle Batman with his own asshole.
You redeemed yourself.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
that's good. That's good.
End it strong, Tony. We end it strong. Yes, yes. There we go.
Awesome. So, episode 14 in the books, my friends.
I want to thank Sterling Audio and American Audio for my new microphone and headphones. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Jay, do we have any teases for episode 15?
I got nothing.
The only thing I might be teasing is we might talk about the continuing housing crisis here in the United States and the lasting impact since 2008. We'll take a brief look into what's still going on.
Will the feds raise the interest rates?
Ooh. Maybe we can do Urban Dictionary Part 2.
It will. It's coming.
And I'd like to end us on a very solemn note whenever you guys are ready.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, Tony, you can give us the outro if you want.
Oh, I'm sorry. Outro. Okay.
Spell it out.
Or I guess we'll just record that after this, too.
That's all right. Oh, I still got to spell it out in addition to the standard outro?
A tease for the next time, me and Lori's upcoming Las Vegas trip. So I want to tease that. Yes.
Done that.
Yeah, we don't really care.
Yeah. But it's a good tease.
A tease nonetheless.
All right.
Fuck you, peanut butter cup.
Damn.
A lot of love here today in the command center. Thanks again for listening.
I'll just play us out.
What?
You can keep talking. I'll play us out.
Okay.
Keep going.
I can hear you in the headphones. Fucker. Thanks again for listening to episode 14 of the Nerdcast podcast. Be sure to check us out online at nerdcast.com.
To Jurassic Park.
That's NYRDCAST.com. And that music is loud as fuck in my headphones.
Don't move in hurts.
Oh, God.
And strong. Okay. And then strong.
I had no idea that was going to happen. Oh, shit.
Okay. Jen just sent me that link, too.
Okay. Well, I don't even know where I left
off. It's funny because you think it's Jurassic Park and it's not. Oh, fuck.
Okay, I said the website right. All right.
Yeah, you did.
It's... I'm going to spell it again because that music was loud as shit. It's NYRDCAST.com. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at Nerdcast. That's NYRDCAST. Thanks again for listening. I go by the name of Toner.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
That's Joe Dust.
Matt.
Jay.
Sound guy Steve.
So until next time, do whatever it is you do. Peace.
See ya!
Be sure to check out our website, nerdcast.com. That's NYRDCAST.com for more great articles. And right now we're offering a chance to win 2 tickets to Anheuser-Busch's Oktoberfest in St. Louis the weekend of September 25th to 27th. The website will have details on how to win those tickets. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Nerdcast. Again, it's NYRDCAST. We're also on Facebook and Google+. If you enjoyed the podcast, find us on iTunes and rate us and review us. The higher we get on iTunes, the more great content we'll put out. Today's track is Can't Be Done by Sadded X and the 12 to 6 movement.
It's 12 to 6. Yeah. The only fucking real movement. Fuck yeah. The only fucking movie you need to worry about. I can spit a ill message to the old and the young. I can always tell the truth and never bite my tongue. I can make you raise your hands when I'm packing a gun. They said it can't be done, but I'm a champion. Yeah, I can be educated and still get dumb. Kick a hole in the beehive and not get stung. I can do anything that's under the sun. They said it can't be done, but I'm a champion.
Didn't get an inkling to you. Sit to the pin. Think you fucking fake. Never do it again. Trying to score ball points and you missing your friend. Hit you in the face. Now you spitting too slick. I let go. There's in the pinto. Yeah, y'all down the ride. Blank and safe. They kill the crew. Call the shit a diatribe. Luke coming up. They falling off like narrow beds. Digging for beats like Matthews for arrowheads. Building value. while you was waiting to see. Free agent to be, but with my agent nothing free. Orange for the green, cause the beats is J.E. Burn out your garden like David Lee. Add a Roth if you please, if he's off of the team. Beat it up like Mardi Gras, tossing them things. Been doing it for years, by time that you know. Come on, sweat the technique like hyperhydro.
I can spit a ill message to the old and the young. I can always tell the truth and never bite my tongue. I can make you raise your hands when I'm packing a gun. They said it can't be done, but I'm a champion. Yeah, I can be educated and still get dumb. Kick a hole in the beehive and not get stung. I can do anything that's under the sun. They said it can't be done, but I'm a champion. It, gotta get it, spit acidic, flow is custom, so don't think that you can fit it if you bit it. I did it cause I had to speak it for my value. These others rarely wow you. Let me show you how to motivate a crowd, dude. Response is so cool, but you choose to be blind to our success that makes you whine like a schoolgirl. The new world, it's officially here. It's our year, we ain't going nowhere, let me be clear. We will destroy, brought the real, left you looking like a decoy. Come against me, that isn't where you wanna be, boy. Gotta do crew for a feat, I can coach you. Don't be so shook when I approach you. Cutting through the loop like a DJ. You're probably on our nuts from the second that you press play. Clear as day, that what you got was obviously wrong. When you said we couldn't do it, watch it be done. I can spit a ill message to the old and the young. I can always tell the truth and never bite my tongue. I can make you raise your hands when I'm packing a gun. They said it can't be done, but I'm a champion. Yeah, I can be educated and still get dumb. Kick a hole in the beehive and not get stung. I can do anything that's under the sun. They said it can't be done, but I'm a champion.
They said it can't be done, but then I beat the gun case. We got up that good bread and threw it in the lawyer's face. So the 5 years dropped to one, the terms of probation. You might not hear me on your radio station, but I still take vacation off my independent grind. They said it can't be done, that's your life, not mine. They said it can't be done, but then them towers sure fell. And I know I'll probably see Bin Laden in hell. They said it can't be done, why the priest touched that kid? Guess what I did, I made him eat that cross. They said it can't be done, but then Joplin got tossed. And I cried at that loss. Jesus, please save the baby. Please. Give the people back their homes that's been covered with stones. They said it can't be done. I sparked one just in time. It taught you all the lesson upon the completion of the rhyme. The deletion of grind is what I stand for. You know,
I can spit a ill message to the old and the young. I can always tell the truth and never bite my tongue. I can make you raise your hands when I'm packing a gun. They said it can't be done, but I'm a champion. Yeah, I can educated and still get dumb. Kick a hole in the beehive and not get stung. I can do anything that's under the sun. They said it can't be done, but I'm a champion. I'm hearing bright screams and loud lights from St. Louis out to Crown Heights. I'm hitting time, flashing cheap mics. I won't stop for cops or street spikes, cause my core jumps knee high. Every vein in my body, it bleed light. They told me I never amount to nothing. Got them bitching and cussing. They know we really winning, cousin. We isn't fronting. The internet is really buzzing. Google the name, bitch. 12-6, Spark Wonder. These other rappers saying Dag Nabbit. This cracker's even got a page up on Black Planet. I rock twice the bells. I'm nice as hell. I'm like James Todd Smith, but I get twice the L. Ladies lust, love, and long on Spark One. Fastest way to make it happen. Tell me that it can't be done. Turn the tide, travel time, take a walk on the sun. When I put my mind to it, I can do what I want. I can spit a ill message to the old and the young. I can always tell the truth and never bite my tongue. I can make you raise your hands when I'm packing a gun. They said it